When I'm not recording for tending to the Badass Mom Cast, I am running my small business, Sheenballa. Check out sheenballa.com for some unique custom pieces that help express your uniqueness and beauty. We specialize in custom jewelry that express you as a person, as a friend, as a lover, as whatever you want to be expressed as. So check us out at sheenballa.com and on all our social media pages, also at Sheenballa. And check us out on Thursday nights for Thursday Night Live on Facebook. What's up, you guys? We are here at episode 4 of our series, or season 3, of Black Men Matters. Episode 4 focuses on Cliff's community. Cliff is a really good friend that works and does things in the Winston-Salem area to support his community and the place that he grew up. So we'll take some time to talk about some different ideologies that we kind of share between the two of us to support our community, to support the children specifically of the community, because we all know that the children are the future. So take some notes. You definitely plug in to us on social media. Make sure you listen out for where you can find all of Cliff's information and all of the ways that you can maybe get some ideas to give back to your own community. You can start your own streetlight. What's up, you guys? It is Sheena, your favorite host of your favorite podcast, the Tended To Momcast. And I have our special guest today. It's Cliff Crawford. Welcome, Cliff.
Thank you for having me. Hola, should I say.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Hey, muy bien, gracias.
We were teasing about him just finishing Spanish. He is an awesome rising student. Where are you going to school at?
So I picked back up in school and started at Georgia Military College, GMC.
Okay.
Really like to thank those guys for introducing me to online school and making it a breeze for me. And when I mean a breeze, those guys did a good job of having me on the campus, making me feel good, even though I wasn't a student on the campus. And then I'm transitioning to taking those credits to North Carolina State and finishing up my degree. I'm actually taking one more Spanish class and I'll be done.
Ooh, nice. NC State. Go Pat.
Yes, I am ready to get this degree, finish this Spanish class, and be a graduate. Finally, you know, I thought about playing basketball, and I know we talked a little bit before, but I can't stress enough about it. Don't matter how old you are, how young you are, you can still, you know, get out there and apply yourself and achieve some goals that you set for yourself at an early age. And this was one of my goals, to get my degree and make my mother proud. So I am going to give her this degree.
Nice.
And make her very proud with this.
I definitely understand that. I am, I'm a student as well at Winston-Salem State University. And I've got another year and a half to finish. You come out of high school and you say, oh, I'm going to college, because that's what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you know, this ain't for me. And then you put it down and you live your life. And then one day you're like, you know, I had this dream. I wanted to do this thing. And now, like, I'm 15 years into my company. So it's not like I have to have a degree to do what I want to do, but I want a degree.
Right.
And they offer like tuition reimbursement and different programs. And I was telling a friend that it's so much easier, I think, going back now, but instead of like being, you know, young adolescent, I've already lived my life, so I'm not pressed to do anything off campus. And then I'm a lot better when it comes to my focus and like my writing. I have like life experience when it comes to writing. So writing isn't nearly as intimidating. And then there are other situations where it's just like, I kind of already been through this. Let me just, you know, check this box off for this class. So it is definitely cooler. I think now, and I find myself at a better, I have better study habits, better techniques now at, you know, in my later 30s than I did when I was 19 and 20 years old, trying to, you know what I'm saying, do it all.
I 100% agree with you with that, because right now, you know, you're going in there to be a student. You don't really care about who's having a cookout after you get out of class. You don't care about nothing. All you want to do is finish this schoolwork, read these books, and get an A on that test.
Yeah.
And then move forward. It is so compartmentalized being older going back to school than when it was being younger and going to school. I 100% agree with you on that.
And I can't say that it's more affordable, but you do it in a way that's smarter. You don't take a whole bunch of useless classes. Like I, most of my, so my associates is through a community college. So I only had to pick up and do my credit hours, and I was still 38 credits into my degree before I transferred. So I'm really only paying for my junior and senior year. And then on top of that, my company does tuition reimbursement. So they're still paying for majority of it. So now I come out, I don't have any student loan debt because I'm paying for it because I'm working a job every day and I have the extra income. I mean, it ain't much, but it's enough for me to pay for these classes. And then I'll be able to go right back to my company. I don't have to go job searching and just say, hey, I got my degree, just pay me more to do what I'm already doing.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
I was just telling a friend of mine about going back to school and just, you know, focusing and honing his skills in on what he wants to do, because I think we go to school as young kids and then we really don't know.
Yeah.
You know, we really don't know what, you know, we have planned. Some of us do, you know, and some of us, you know, really are just happy to be going to college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like getting away from my neighborhoods and we in a better environment. And now as an older adult, you can really focus your attention on what that is you want to earn from school or learn in school.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of my, my degree will be in interdisciplinary studies. So it's just pretty much whatever classes I pick within the same track. So I'm able to like go to school and learn the things that I want to learn and that I'm comfortable paying for. So I think that, you know, just that knowledge and being able to kind of weed through the system, you know, you go through a lot of processes and you apply for things, you know, as you're coming up. I can't tell you how many things I have applied for, car loans and home loans and applications for whatever, and that process is so just so much easier. So it's like I'm a little more versed when it comes to sitting down with that student loan and that financial aid and that kind of stuff. You're not about to just get me over because I'm just as old as you are, Miss Business.
Right. All I was thinking about the financial aid was, when do I get that refund check?
Listen here, I called the phone. I was like, listen here, am I going to get that for? She was like, no, that's not till the fall. Can I go in and prepay? Right. Let me go ahead and register and y'all pay it.
Now it's like, it's a difference. It really is, you know, when you got a level of maturity and you approach a school, I think you should have to approach school with that level of maturity. But, you know, as young kids, you just don't have it. You know, it's just a lot of other things that's in your way that could possibly be in your way. So I encourage all adults, you know, right now, if you was on the verge of, and I encourage all some of the athletes too. There's a lot of student athletes that, you know, for some reason or another didn't finish school. I encourage them to reach back to their school and just have that dialogue about getting back in school and how they can get it paid for or get a structure where they can just get back in school and finish that degree.
Nice. I didn't even realize that. I that wouldn't have been something. I'm not a student athlete either, but that wouldn't have been something I would think about, like continuing your scholarship or, you know, applying your athleticism in a different way. So that is real and for good information.
Before we move on to the topic, I just got to thank NC State because, Coach Keats over there at NC State doing a great job. He actually has been, you know, communicating with me back and forth, and this wasn't even my coach. So this just shows you the type of character this guy has and about the program and getting guys to come back. And it's actually a reconnect program. Cam Bitterman, a couple of other guys just finished school. I know Ryan Kelly, a lot of other guys that just, you know, previously played. And for, you know, any reason, a number of reasons they didn't finish, they came back and got that degree up under Coach Keys in that reconnect program. So it's been a blessing.
That's really cool. That is really cool. I have a couple of friends that have gone to state over the years, and I think it's a really good school. I learned a lot about it. They're like one of the bigger tobacco producers, bigger agricultural. They have a really good mechanical engineering program. I do know that. my son, when he was looking into drafting, his instructor, a Black woman, she was a NC State graduate in their mechanical engineering program. So we think a lot about engineering here in North Carolina. You think of A&T, some of the HBCUs, but NC State has a really great engineering program. So definitely shout out. Go Pack, go.
Definitely shout out the Pack.
So a little bit about, I guess, our background. I started following you like on social media, and I noticed you do a lot of stuff for the community. Like we were talking about you being from Winston, and mm-hmm. I chose to go to Winston-Salem State. What, like, how did that like grassroots approach really start off for you? What made you what happened one day? And it's like, yo, I'm gonna start giving back. I'm gonna start being Winston. Cause for a long time, I thought your name was Winston. I was like,
right. That is my name. That's my name, Winston, though. That's for real. That is my name. So, well, first of all, I mean, Winston, I just love Winston-Salem. I mean, I really genuinely love my city and I love the people of my city. And it really started when I went, I guess, overseas. And I got to see how prideful the people were about their city, where they came from. You know, it was different. You know, it felt like they had a shield of, you know, their flag around them. And so mm-hmm. I kind of bottled my city up like that. You know, growing up as a young kid, all we knew was Winston-Salem. You know, all we knew was what we got from this city or what we didn't get from this city. But for us, it was like the city was everything to us. It was like a gold mine. Like, it was nothing in that city. It's absolutely, you know, tobacco ran the city. It's a lot of, you know, older money, as they say, in the city. Of course, we got Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a lot of like national coverage on Winston-Salem, North Carolina. You know, when you think of North Carolina, the first cities you think of is Charlotte, you think Raleigh, you know, even Greensboro, you sometimes you think before Winston-Salem.
Right.
But I just was one of those kids, and I could speak for a lot of kids growing up in Winston-Salem. We just absolutely love what our city was about, the people in our city, you know, the things that we learned from our city. And I think we kind of took those things everywhere and kind of like, you know, put our roots into those places and grew trees, sort of. Because mm-hmm. when you say Winston-Salem to people in North Carolina, they have a reaction, you know.
Right.
And it's all, whether that's good, whether it's bad, it's always some type of reaction. Mm-hmm. So me to come back and give back to my city, we always been doing this. You know, we always been looking out for one another. You know, whether it be, hey, you want to hold my clothes this week, you know, you need to wear my shirt, you know, or, hey, you know, come over for dinner tonight, you know, what you need, you know, hey, you need a ride, you know, but we always been looking out for one mm-hmm. another. And for me to grow up and be able to come back and just, you know, work with the community, talk to the kids and have the kids know my name, it just means the world to me, because it's in my city that gave so much to me. It's only right that I get so much back.
I love to hear that. I love to hear that. We talk about city and standing up for the people, and grassroots is one of my favorite words this week, so I feel like I've said it a million times. So there's a mm-hmm. lot of distress going on in our communities, a lot of things that are impacting us. It's like every time we turn around, it's, you know, racism, it is classism, it's colorism, it is all the isms seem to impact us as a Black community.
Right.
So it's very cool to see, especially some of our younger guys really step up, and that's not really new to our community. The city raised you, but I bet you when you know, some of the kids that see you, when you look back at that age, there were other gentlemen in your community that did the same thing.
Exactly.
And, you know, in some cases, you just, not to say return the favor, but that, like you said, that is what I do. That's my role in the community.
It's, you know, I like to thank a couple, you mentioned a couple of guys, you know, the Tinies, the James Blackburns, the, you know, my coaches, Coach Charles Hunt. I mean, a lot of just the men that were around us and instilling values in us, and the ones to pop us on the hand and say, you know, you're not going down the right path. So, I mean, I owe it to those guys to come back and just be available, you know, for my community. Because if you know, we, and frankly, if we don't do it, nobody is.
Right.
So, and I don't want it to be, you know, I talk a lot. I like to, you know, I talk a lot of junk, you know, I talk a lot of wisdom, and but I always want to say, if I'm talking that junk, you can't say I'm not in the community. You know,
right.
I'm not, you know, somewhere to be found. So I always want to, you know, say that and also back it up with my actions. And I feel like the kids know who I am. And that's the most important thing to me. Like I said, I can't stress that enough. I love the adults, but it's good to get to those kids and kind of steer them into the right directions, because all it takes is one phrase, you know, one meal, you know, one book bag, one pencil, and these kids are like, man, somebody actually cares about
me. Yes, absolutely.
And that may change.
Yeah, it definitely takes a village. Like we say that, you know, not to say as a joke, but it definitely does. It's the village that raised you, not the society, not school.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
It's the neighbor. It is like, I'm just as, you know, terrified of my neighbors as I am my mama, because somebody gonna get me. You
right,
know?
Right.
And then I have to be on my P's and Q's everywhere. And then that just like instills in me and instills in the children. You definitely make a great point talking about the kids, because they are the foundation. They are what we're built on in the future. So you have to be able to bring them up in a way that builds their confidence, that lets them know, like, not only I might be in this situation, but I know somebody got my back, and I know this is somebody who was in my situation, so I got something to look forward to when I'm grown. And I, you know, you can be an example for someone that may not have an example living in or directly in their community. So staying very close, even through success, even through different changes, you know, not to say you're a product in your environment, but I come back to plant the trees, you know?
Correct.
So I
like to thank you too, because every time, you know, we have had an event, you have secretly came in, dropped, you know, gift off, you know, clothes, coat drive, sock, you know, you've been a part of everything, just, you know, when we called. So I would like to thank you, because you don't have to do that. And then, you know, we making giving back cool right now. You know, it's in our city, it's almost a competition. It's a competition with everything. You know, so now we're trying to, you know, we're trying to outfeed each other. Who can feed the most kids? You know what I mean?
We have the benefit of social media, because other people see it like, oh, I'm going to outdo your city. So all of our cities get exactly what we're needing.
Exactly.
I know, a guy that I follow, Tone Trump, I think is his name.
Right,
I follow
that's my
him
guy.
Because
my
of
God.
You. And he does a lot of really cool things in Philly. I believe he's in Philly.
Yeah,
but he does a lot of stuff with like young boys and like good quality work. And let me clarify that. With the young boys and for his city. So that is it definitely spreads, just in good, like you know, everything is a pandemic right now. You know, these things spread from one to another, but that also happens with good things too. You know,
correct.
That light continues to spread across, and then eventually, you know, our entire communities, because we don't have anybody else to depend on. We can't depend on society to take care of our communities.
Exactly.
We've seen what happens to our communities when we put it in society's hands.
Exactly.
And we've seen when we step back. So you have to, you know, there's so many places that you can step into. You know, like we talked through, like that protest, and you didn't see me donate $500 to get people out of jail. You didn't see me Amazon Prime people to get shoes. You know what I'm saying? You don't, just because you don't see it don't mean it's not happening. You didn't see me spend 3 hours signing petitions. You know what I mean? You didn't see me standing in line because I didn't take a picture of it to go vote. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'm
glad you mentioned. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, you go ahead.
I'm glad you mentioned Tom Trump. He's a good friend of mine, man, and a mentor, just a role model, you know, and a peer as well. So I met him in North Carolina about 7, 8 years ago, excuse me. And we really became, you know, just good friends. And he's been one of those individuals that I don't like to say competing with, but you know, when you're doing certain things, you want people to kind of emulate what you're doing.
Absolutely.
When it's a good thing. So I want to say, I always say to him, man, yo, you know, it's honorable what you are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because
iron sharpens iron.
Yes. Yeah. You know, and I want to compete with him on that level. You know what I mean? But it's not a competition. You know,
right.
So I don't want to. I don't.
We can do the most for our community.
Yes, I don't want to. I don't want to stress to others that we in competition. But I do also want to say we are in a competition, because that's better for our neighborhoods if we compete. If we're competing on a high level to all take care of our neighborhoods, then that's some good competition. You know what I mean? So I am going to say it's competition because I want to feed all the kids in my neighborhood. Right. I want to get them all book bags and, you know, and socks and everything. So when they go back to school, they straight.
Absolutely.
But it's just a blessing just to be able to lead, you know, to step in and say, hey, I have friends doing this exact same things in their cities.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have people like yourself highlighting the fact that this is going on, because far too often we don't want to show this. And it's like, right. why are we not showing this? We showing everything else but you servicing your community.
Right.
Let's show that. Let's put that in the forefront. You know what I mean? Put the rest of that stuff.
Or they're quick to say, well, what about, you know, they look at like high visibility people. Well, this person is doing this. You know, I don't see nobody talking about this because you're not looking, because they are. We are doing this every single day. We're having these conversations every single day. We're, you know, doing what it takes at every single level to make it happen. It's just you're not looking for it, for one. And, you know, because if you're in it, you know what's going on. If your intention is to make a difference. That's my intention, is to make a difference.
Right.
So I can call somebody anywhere. If I want to know, like if I want to do something in Winston, I can call, hey, hook me up with somebody or do something.
We're gonna set it up for you
this year. Are y'all doing coats this year? So
I mean, we're gonna feed the kids this weekend, and we're gonna pass out socks. Okay. Hopefully I get over like 200 socks. I haven't really been broadcasting it. I'm gonna do it in Winston-Salem. I haven't really been broadcasting it like that, but it's gonna be something just small for the community. We're gonna get some food. I ain't putting no flyers together, man. We're just gonna have some food. We're gonna take it to the communities. You know, I'm gonna go around lunchtime, about 1 or 2. Go to 3 different communities, give out food, give out socks, and then the rest of the socks that we have, we're gonna get to the homeless.
Okay, cool. I wonder if Haynes, you think Haynes can jump in on that? You know, I'm like, that's just how my brain works. Like, do I know anybody at concert where I could get socks?
Hey, listen, whoever wants to get in, you know, can be involved. But I can't stress enough how much I want things to come from my own community. You know, gotcha. I want the nucleus to be from the people that I know in my community. And let's service our own community. We have enough to go around. You know, it's easy for us to knock on the door and borrow sugar. We don't do that anymore. You know what I mean? And yeah. I mean, I shouldn't have to buy the sugar. You should have the sugar for me anyway. You know what I mean? That's the meaning of community. You know, if I don't have a lighter, I'm not stressing. If I don't have water, I ain't stressing because my neighbor has water for me.
Right.
You know? So I want to get back to the you said, the grassroots of having community days, and I'm going to do more. I'm going to get to doing more. But having community days where we feed in the community. You ain't got to worry about dinner that day.
I love that. There are so many. It's like I said, you get so many like out of the community stuff, but there are still folks from home, you know, that do these types of things. And I absolutely love that. I can't not support that. You know what I'm saying? I can't. Right. I was a military kid. I went to a different school almost mm-hmm. every year. So I don't really have anywhere that I necessarily say that I have roots in. I mean, I've been in Greensboro the longest, and I love my city. Like, I love it. Almost like I grew up here. I didn't grow up here, but I'm here, and this is where I pay my taxes, and I love it. I love the history here. And then the more I learn about it, the more I love it. And that same thing happened with me, like going to Winston. It's like, you know, I'm from the triad. So, like, I'm not even from Greensboro anymore. I'm from the triad.
From the triad area.
Yeah, I'm from the triad.
That's cool.
Because I was going, I love the Innovation Quarter. I'm always hanging out over there. In downtown.
It's dope over there, right?
It's a lot going on over there in Bailey Park, the Bailey Power Plant, Access Winston. We got Venture Cafe. I would go over there on Thursday nights. I mean, we haven't been able to now. And then now they're changing it to Agile City. So, you know, like while we're talking about Winston, shout out to Karen Barnes over at Venture Cafe Winston-Salem, which is now Agile City. And then Hassani Mitchell over at Access Winston. I came over and we did a bunch of work with the hot zones, like the zoning of the city where we have opportunities to do things. So I really love the economic work that Winston is doing, because like you said, it used to be rooted in tobacco and that's not so much anymore. So it has been really neat to kind of see Winston change over, or Winston-Salem change over into this innovation quarter, this place where we're
super tech
in our community, in the Black community, where Wells Fargo is putting money into Piedmont Business Capital to fund some of our small businesses, our minority-owned businesses, hub certifications. There's so many things that are happening out there. Flywheel, like the co-working facility. There's so many cool things that happen in the Winston-Salem area at an economic standpoint. So I could talk about it like it's my own city. From that,
I mean, you mentioned that because it's cool to see the growth. And it's also, it's cool to see how fast that really happened. Like, it was like a blink of the eye, but it took a long time, it seemed like, to transfer over. But it's grabbing a lot more young people coming to our city too, as well. Absolutely. So, you know, it used to be a very older city. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, we have a lot of people from outside of Winston moving into the city, you know, through those innovation jobs too, which is something that we're going to get into, you know, later as we go, once we start demanding that some of those jobs go to the residents of Winston-Salem.
Absolutely. Bringing those programs to be a liaison, like, let me transition you, like getting into the high schools, the community and schools programs, how to bridge that gap. You know, yes. So these kids don't have to leave to be successful. They can, right. I can, you know, get it. I can stay at home and still go and leave and go to work every day and be profitable until the point where I can do it. That's how you build wealth.
Exactly. If you have a CEO of tobacco in our city of Reynolds right now, making upward of what, $2 million a year, probably more than that, $5 million a year, probably, and it's no way those programs shouldn't allow for our kids to be involved in those same corporations, to have that type of earning power, or at least be in certain levels so they can have earning power where they can look at Winston-Salem as home for real. Right. I can really sit down and buy a home in Winston-Salem.
And I can even go, like, a lot of people don't consider the amount that you're paying taxes. So not only am I buying a home here, I'm funding the future here too. I'm participating in my city. I'm engaged in city council because I live here and I have a voice here. You have to use the voice that you have. We love to joke around about paying taxes, but it's also your responsibility. Like, you're not just handing your money over. You have a say-so, but you have to say so. Absolutely. You have, you know, a voice in these things. I like to go back to Horton Hears a Who. That's one of my favorite Dr. Seuss stories, because it took every single person on that spec for them to hear. And until every single person was engaged, they couldn't hear. They was going to die. The whole community was going to die. But until they all came together and did with all their who might, that's what it took for them to be heard, and that's what it took for them to be successful.
I mean, it's funny you summed up life as simple as a children's book, but yet life is so complex because it's ran by adults. Mm-hmm. So it's really different. But that's interesting though.
Yeah, definitely check that. That's one of my favorite stories. I love the movie Horton Hears a Who. That kangaroo lady, she was a bitch. She wanted that spec dead. Okay, Karen wanted that spec dead.
Karen, that's her. That's probably
that
was, her
was
name.
Karen. She wanted that spec dead, and her little baby, he knew something was up. He was trying to get away from her the whole movie. He knew it. The youth knew. And at the end, it took every single who, and it took all the other people looking at her, the allies that was like, "Yo, you tripping?"
Right. That's interesting. So, I got to check that out.
You got to check out Horror Hears Who.
Dr. Seuss. I haven't read too many of the Dr. Seuss.
Oh, man. You know, we both have kids, but Billy Jackson, he loves the Lorax and logo. I like it too. I just got into it. But the Horror Hears Who is one that we pay attention to. It. And, you know, we can stick out a couple of movies like Zootopia or, you know, some of them that have quite a few like life lessons that you don't realize until you're older.
Correct.
And that's definitely one of them. Horton Hears a Who. Check it out.
Because they definitely was putting stuff right in our face through the cartoon or through the books.
Absolutely. And they always have. We just didn't really realize it. Nah. Like, you think cartoons ain't for kids. Sometimes they for adults, too.
Definitely are for adults.
Well, sure. Yeah, absolutely. So, speaking of TV, let's talk Streetlight TV. Where did Streetlight TV come from?
I mean, so I was coming down to Atlanta. I always wanted, I like film. So I wanted a filming company, and I thought, you know, I wanted some, you know, that I can relate to. And the street lights is something that all kids can relate to growing up. With the old saying is, when the street lights come on, you know what time it is. You got to be in the house before the street lights come on. And then under the aspect, the street lights provide, you know, like cover. They provide light. So they shed a light on things that, you know, normally wouldn't shed a light on. So my goal with Streetlight TV was to highlight, you know, men and show Black men in general in a different light other than what the normal, you know, media coverage was. So that's the goal of, you know, the gist of Streetlight TV.
I love that. I would have never, ever get, and I'm a real let there be person. Like, I got a story for you. I'm really into the Bible. I love theology. I love religion. And the first words that God ever said was, let there be light. He created all these things. He put all these things, and it wasn't good enough. And the first thing he said was, let there be light. So that's something that I always try to keep in mind in any situation that I am in. It's like, okay, all this other stuff is happening. I know light is coming. So there's one way to look at it. And then I have to be a light. So sometimes you might get somewhere and it's dark and you have to be the light. And just like you said, like that street light hit me. Like, because they don't put street lights in the busiest area that's already lit. Your street lights are in the dark spots. They cover the dark spots. They provide the safety in the dark places. So that way there's light. So I love that street light.
And then you know, one thing about the street lights is they are very dependable, you know? It's something there that you can really you can really count on, you know, and make you feel good when you know that light. If that light cuts off, you know, anxiety may hit. So you feel good under the street lights.
Yeah, I'm safe right here. If I can just make it to the street light,
there you go. You know what I mean? So you feel good.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is your main goal, or what do you normally shoot with? Because I have a crazy idea. I was like, I want to do a cooking show. I wonder if I could get Streetlight TV to record my cooking show.
Of course, we're a full-fledged production company. So anything far as film-wise, you know, you need it. If you need lights, you know, you have lights. If you need people, you need directors, you know, have directors. If you need somebody to simply, you know, come hold the grip, which is, you know, to hold the lights where you are, you film. You know, we have that. So it's a full-fledged, you know, production company. We service all things film.
Cool. I'm going to write that down. I mean, not that I don't already know it, but I got to write it
right
down.
Remember it. Understandable.
Cool. What else you want to talk about? We've been rolling. We covered everything I wanted to talk about.
We was going to talk about the interviews.
Oh, yes, we were talking about Streetlight TV.
So, that's why your takeover, too. I think you did a good job on the takeover. Thanks. If you have anybody else that, you know, you can recommend for the takeover.
Sure.
I think it'd be good. It's a good public speaking, you know, opportunity, too.
Absolutely. Getting accustomed to that form of media. I've done YouTube, and I've done, like, a lot of live work. Not a lot of live work. I'm not sure. But I've done, you know, some live work, like your work, and like, I can talk to people in person, but being behind the camera kind of makes me weird. Outside of like selfies that I take, I was really apprehensive to do like photo shoots or things like that. So being in front of the camera, like live, I can't edit and can't change what's happening, really like gave me a bunch of anxiety. So it was definitely something that it took me to get prepared for. And I had done it on my own, but now I'm like in somebody else's territory doing it. So it was it's definitely a good public speaking experience.
Yeah.
And again, like get you introduced to that media, Getting people definitely cling more when they can see a face, and they can, right, like, she teased my boss all the time. It's like, no, I want to see you on video so I know how your face moves when you laugh, or, you know, like how your teeth move when you talk. Like, I want to know those That's things true. About you, because I feel That's like, true. Oh, we're closer. I can, you know, I can go a little bit extra because I know, you know, she's going to smile and that wrinkle crawls up in her forehead, you know, a little bitty stuff like that. So that is definitely good. People will definitely connect to your brand a little more. And this is me preaching to the choir, me being the lead singer. And that, you know, people want to see your face.
They do. And, I mean, it's just a good opportunity for you to share what you have going on. And each time you can share what you have going on, you should, especially what you have going on is positive.
What are some of your favorite, or you're probably all your favorite interviews, but what are some of the ones that stick out to you the most?
I'm going to say it's, you know, I never make it about myself. So it's always about their experience and their, you know, I'm all for the next person to win, you know? So, you know, a lot of my friends have been contacting me and they've been enjoying the interviews, so that has made me feel good when they call and they say, you know, hey man, I've been checking in the interviews, this and such, this was dope, and you know how they feel about it, and you know they've hit me because they know who I am, you know, they grew up with me, so you know, them seeing me do this and then they say, you know, the interviews have been dope, man, I think you really have, you know, found something that you enjoy. You know, and then I was thinking to myself, I'm only doing this because I'm bored.
Right.
Like not necessarily bored, but something else to do because I wasn't actually going outside. You know what I mean? Right. So this was like going outside for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Cause literally I couldn't go outside. I was on punishment. And I go outside.
I definitely understand that. I started doing Periscope, so like obviously I do makeup.
Right.
So it was just like, I might as well do this and talk to people at the same time because I get tired of looking at my own face. So let me other people do it. And people are reaching out like, yo, you stop doing the makeup. Like, these people working me to death.
They want you to do it. It's because it's literally when you have that type of space and you can offer that type of, you know, and the content mm-hmm. was, and for me, also, when I said I was going to actually do the interviews, I had the content in mind. I wanted to be, you know, very, you know, I wanted to focus in on who people were and where they came from and Absolutely. How they got to their success. And, you know, each story, I think each individual have their own story, but they could have interchanged and all been each other. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? So that's cool how each individual story, because it's the same upbringing, it's the same raising, it's the same story for those particular men, those particular women, you know, that I got a chance to interview. And, you know, like we talked about Knife Wonder, you know, I would say the grandest interview of them all, but none grander than them all, because each individual, like I said, had their own story, right, and their own perspective, in their own way, and I took from each individual story. I can see myself in them.
Right.
You know, like actually walking in their shoes. You know, Knife talked about, you know, sleeping on the couch. You know, I used to play basketball and come back overseas and I stay with my homeboys. It's six of us in the crib. I'm on the futon, you know what I mean? And I'm comfortable, you know, but I'm working every day on my craft because I know it's gonna be something, it's something else, you know, in store for me, you know what I mean? So I can see myself in those same situations, and to see how, you know, he talked about 30 beats before Thursday, you know, mm-hmm. the work ethic, you know, in Knife Wonder. So you got Josh Howard who broke his legs. He wasn't even supposed to be able to walk, much less be an NBA All-Star.
Right.
You know, you talk about Steve Nivens, a guy that's, you know, from my area, a guy that is a leader of young men, a guy that started a league. He's been running a program for 10 to 15 years for kids, that he has seen kids, you know, graduate elementary school, move to middle school, to go to high school, to go to college. You understand? You know, mm-hmm. so he's almost, you know, directed 500, 700 kids, you know, to better pastures. You know what I mean? So, you know, these are the kind of individuals that you get in with the, you know, these interviews, and it's the content that they are sharing, that they are willing to share. And what I mean by contact them and ask them how they're doing these things, so you can actually do these things in your community.
I love that. I love that. And that just goes back to being a part of your own community. You have the opportunity to touch 500, 600 kids over your lifetime, you know, and then that just grows and grows and grows and grows. If each one of them touches 10, that's 5,000. Each one of them is 50,000. You're able to multiply, you know, Father Abraham around here in your own community.
Yes, and if we all giving them the same value with the message, then we can't help but to excel our race and our young men. If we all delivering the same message, and it's a peer group, and, you know, I also interviewed Tone Trump. I mean, and, you know, we spoke about him earlier, but if we could get men to be in the community as he is in his community on a daily basis, you know, I have an uncle that's in New Jersey also as well, you know, Namdi Nelson. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know, through the film company, I was, you know, fortunate enough to do a documentary for him. And it's going to be beautiful. Some of the things that he says and does for his community in Camden, New Jersey, one of the toughest, you know, communities in America. And we was up there and a kid just got shot, you know, so it's so much going on in these communities that if the men were present in abundance, and then if the community was tighter in abundance too as well, that these things, they just wouldn't happen.
I'm so excited. I could talk about community forever. Yeah, I mean, so where do you see your interviews going? What more would you like to do to build on that platform?
You know, I really haven't put anything down, like where the interviews should go. I do want to go see a couple people, though. I have thought about that and have the cameras with me and do like...
Oh, taking a show on the road.
Yeah, I do want to do that. I do want to do that one time because I have I know where I want to go. I want to do something real. You know, I like to watch that Food Network show. I like, that's like one of my, I like the shows where they go on, they travel and they eat the food up.
Oh yeah, Diner Drive Triple D.
Yeah, you know, that's cool.
That's my Friday night vice right there, boy.
So I like that. That's cool. So, I want to go actually introduce somebody else's world to the people. You know, from their point of view, and really hear, really see what, you know, down and dirty, like really what's going on. So,
Anthony Bourdain's show was like that. He was very much into that. Like, I don't want to go to the most popular restaurant. I want to go to the lady who can fry the best chicken in your neighborhood.
Right, that you grew up in, not
the neighborhood that you live in now.
You
like your old.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I want to really go see what's going on. And I'm a fan of the people. You know, I love the people. I love the common folks, as they say. You know, it's like the everyday hustling people. I really love the neighborhoods. I really love the communities. I love the recreation centers and stuff like that. So,
absolutely, I think to me it keeps me grounded because I go home, like my family. Well, I grew up in Miami, Florida. You know, as a little kid, and I go home and the women there, you know, they wear gold teeth. They have all the different color hair, the booty shorts, the little, and it's like, that's not something I can ever leave from. Like when somebody say, oh, Sheena, let's get dressed up and go out. It's like, oh, where are my gold teeth? Where are my booty shorts? Like, where's my ponytail? Like, right. I don't ever want to,
it's
like,
a culture.
I have a joke that I say, like, I never want to be too good for pet hair. Like, I'm never going to make too much money in my life where I can't go and get some yucky and put it in my hair for a leg bob. You know what I mean? Like, no matter how successful I ever become, I don't ever want to leave who I am and where I started, because there's some little girl, some 6-year-old girl that is like, absolutely, oh my God, that's me in 30 years. So you always got to go back, and then you can't forget who you are and your inner upbringing, because that is who made you who you are now. A lot of people forget that. They separate themselves, but you did not get there by accident. You had to overcome. You had to have something that pushed you. So you can't look down at a step. You don't look down at the last 3 steps you took. So why would you look down at the 15 that you were away from, or the 20 that you were away from? Because they're the foundation. That's where you started. That's what connects you to the ground.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a great point. That's a great point.
So I have thoroughly enjoyed talking to you. I always say, oh, I'm gonna give it a 25 minutes, and now here we are, however long later. 46 minutes later.
Right. But I appreciate you having me. I appreciate you having me.
Thank you so much.
You keep always elevating, you know, others with, you know, your platform. And it's just a great opportunity. I mean, for others to share their story, and also for you, it's cool to watch you grow, you know, because you just keep growing, you keep adding things, you know, you keep adding things and more, you know, you put more items together to share your story, and also give a chance for others to share theirs. So as your platform grows, you just keep building others up, man. It's dope.
Yeah,
so I really appreciate you having me.
Thanks. I definitely, you can't get there alone. It's lonely at the top, they say. And I don't want to be there I'm not at the top if I'm by myself. So I got to pick up 2-3 people who come along with me, you know?
No doubt. If you need us to film it. Mm-hmm. You need us to film it or produce it. Just let us know.
Oh, listen. Let me get this cooking show. I want to do a cookbook. So I got to do a cooking show. So.
Well, no, we'll produce the whole thing.
TV. Okay. I'm fine, y'all. Speaking of finding y'all, where can we find Straight Light TV and then you, if you want to be found on social media?
You can follow at Street Light TV _1981 on Instagram, and then it's Street Light TV _ on Twitter. Those are the main places you can find me at, find us at, and y'all follow. Be sure to follow, though.
Be sure. And definitely check out. Make sure you got your notifications set for those Instagram lives, because those lives are good. Sometimes I be caught up and it's like, oh, crap, I got to get the baby out of the tub.
Yes. The baby out of the tub. It's a 106 apart. When I go live, it's the 106 apart. Everybody, stop what you're doing, throw it to the side, and just check out my live.
No kidding. So definitely check those out. Thank you again for joining. We're going to put all your information in the description box, so that way the folks can find you and all the cool things that you're doing over in Winston-Salem and Street Light TV.
I appreciate you. Thank you for having me, though.
Thank you. Wow, I could talk community every single day, all day long. One day I'll be in a position to talk about community work all the time. But until then, thank you so much for joining me here at Tended To. Make sure you look up Streetlight TV _1981 on Instagram. And then, of course, you can find me at itssheena.com and all of the things for the Tended To Momcast. We have today's diffuser blend over there. We have Montessori Prep. We got the blog. We got all kinds of jazz over at itssheena.com. Find us on Facebook at itssheena. We definitely post a lot of the community work that we do here locally in the Piedmont Triad area, as well as other things. So the more you put your stuff on there, if you go over there and listen, I can spread it to a wider audience. So, of course, you guys know we're not leaving this place until we remind ourselves that we deserve everything. We deserve a full cup at all times. And then at the point that we find that our reservoir is low, take the time to fill it up, and nobody gets anything but the overflow. I will talk to you guys next week.